This is making your parenting perhaps more difficult than it needs to be. And my prayer for us this morning is that we'd be a people who have such a vision of Jesus and have his Spirit so powerfully at work in our hearts that at One Tribe we do relationships differently. And where the church has become quite well known for being able to say, you're a sinner, no, you're okay. You're a sinner, you're okay. To be people who, as we stand next to Jesus, the holy, holy, holy one, we find ourselves saying, you know what? I'm the worst sinner I know. But man, God's grace is good. The ability to take responsibility for our sin is foundational not just for our relationships, but to so much more. And it actually goes back to the Garden of Eden. You guys remember the story? God made man and woman. He put them in the garden. He says, you can do whatever you like. Eat of any tree you like, but please don't eat off that one. If you do it, you will surely die. Serpent comes, talks to Eve. Adam's there. They eat. God comes walking in the garden. Rightly, he talks to the man, the one he left in charge, and says, Adam, what's going on? You know what Adam did? Talk to Eve. God says, okay, Eve, what's going on? You know what Eve said? Talk to the serpent. And that's the way it's been for every son of Adam and daughter of Eve. Husbands, what's happening in your family? What's happening in your marriage? The wife thou givest me. Okay. Wife, what's happening? It's the kids. It's the serpent. That's the root of the problem. What's happening in Safaricom? Well, it's the maintenance department. The maintenance department says, no, it's the leaders who are not leading us properly. For thousands of years, the Bible says that there was every single one had gone astray. Every single one. Not one who would take responsibility for their part of the problem. But not just that, you know, someone said that good leadership is taking less than your share of the credit and taking more than your share of the blame. And God looked for thousands of years and said, I can't see anyone who does this. Until enter the man Jesus Christ, the only one ever absolutely sinless. The only one ever absolutely holy. The Bible calls him, in fact, the second Adam. And where the second Adam failed to take responsibility for his own sin and the sin of his family, when the first Adam failed to do that, the second Adam came. And he had no sin of his own to take responsibility for, but he took responsibility for the sin of Adam and the sin of Eve and the sin of every son of Adam and the sin of every daughter of Eve, and the sin of every man who can hear the sound of my voice this morning, and every woman who can hear the sound of my voice this morning. He took responsibility for our sin on the cross. That's the good news. That's the gospel. We sung it this morning. My sin, oh, the bliss of this blessed thought. My sin, your sin, not in part, not just what you did before you got saved, not just what you are aware of, but my sin, your sin, not in part, but the whole. If we believe in Jesus this morning, it's been nailed to the cross and you bear it no more. We've been washed whiter than snow. We've been made new creatures. We've been taken from rebel hearts and rebel lives, and we've been made sons and daughters of the living God. Behold, what manner of love God has given to us that we should be called sons and daughters of God, and that is what we are. And that truth, as it takes hold in our lives and gains traction in our lives, makes us the kind of people who are then able to say, do you know what? Because sin has been dealt with on the cross, I am empowered to deal with it in my own life, even before I go out and deal with it in other people. What does that look like? It means that we need to become experts at confessing our sin. Now, Protestants, evangelicals, get a bit nervous sometimes when they hear confession, because some churches have taken it to an extreme. But how we take responsibility for our sin in conflict has a powerful, powerful effect on our relationships. And I was helped by this, there's a book out there called The Peacemaker, and guys wrote, his name is Ken Sand, S-A-N-D-E, Sand or Sande or Sandy, I'm not sure how it's pronounced. And he talks about the seven A's of confession. And I found these so helpful that, okay, if I sin, let's say I tell Tash I'm going to cook supper, and then I don't, and I say it's because I, help me here, I'm trying to find some sin. This is just a bad illustration. Okay, just forget about that. The first A is admit or address everyone involved. That's what Bob Collymore did. He found a platform, he found the media, and he was able to address everyone who was affected by his sin. The story's told of a newspaper column writer. He owned the newspaper and he had a column in his newspaper. And he wrote an editorial one day about a politician in town. And this was an insulting, scathing editorial. And the newspaper went out, and this guy is at the club, and he's in the washrooms, and he's done his business, he's washing his hands, and out of the cubicle comes the politician who he insulted a few days ago. And this newspaper owner, he says, you know, old fellow, because it happened in London, I've been thinking about what I wrote, and as I've thought about it, I've realized I was wrong. And right here, right now, I want to apologize to you. And the politician says to him, look, all right, but I hope next time you'll insult me in the washroom and apologize to me in your newspaper. What he was saying is that when we've done something wrong, we need to talk to everyone who's been affected by what we've done wrong. Address everyone involved. And as we skip over these A's, we start to disempower our confession. We start to disempower our apology when we don't address everyone involved. Or when, number two, this is so old. This is huge. This is like a landmine on any confession or apology. Listen, I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings, and maybe I shouldn't have done what I did. So yeah, I apologized. No, dude, you did not. Avoid if, but, and maybe. What does if say? If is in the realm of theoretical maybe possibilities. So if I hurt your feelings, well, look, if it's an if, then you don't need to apologize. Well, maybe I shouldn't have done that. When you go away, you think, actually, maybe I should have done that. We're disempowering our confession. Avoid but. You know what but means, don't you? When you hear but in the middle of a paragraph, blah, 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 but, blah, 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 blah. What it means, when you say the word but, it means ignore everything I've just said. This is the really important bit. I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings, but I was upset. What that means is, yes, I realize I hurt your feelings, but the really important thing is that I was upset. And if you hadn't upset me, then I wouldn't have hurt your feelings. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And some of you have been on the receiving end of apologies like this. You may have walked away thinking that just didn't do it for me. These may be some reasons why. If Bob Collymore had gotten up and said, you know what, I'm sorry if some of you might have been maybe inconvenienced by what happened, but times are hard in Kenya. Next one. Admit specifically. And this is where Bob Collymore just showed outstanding. He said, look, this is exactly what happened. Link number one went down. Link number two, unbelievably, also went down. And that should not have happened. He was just so crystal clear, specific. I've been under leadership where it's kind of like, well, maybe one or two things went wrong, but we're hoping for better things in the future. So specific, be specific. And this is where you start to realize that peacemaking is simple. It's not complicated, it's simple. But simple doesn't mean it's easy. Admit specifically your actions and your attitudes. And this is where knowledge about God's word, knowledge about the Bible helps us so much. And what I do when I'm confessing is I try and think in Bible categories because the Bible understands our hearts so well. And so it's not a case of, okay, maybe I told a white lie and I shouldn't have done that. But no, I was deceptive. I lied. See, the Bible uses language like that. But it's also helpful to get into our hearts and say, okay, what was going on in my heart that led to that action or that led to those words? And you say, oh, okay. I lied because I wanted you to think better of me than I'd actually done. And that's because at that moment in time I was fearful or prideful or whatever it may be. You can tell that this is a prayerful process. It's not just I said sorry and that's it. And this is how we do relationships at One Tribe. God help us. Number four, acknowledge the hurt. Something about that Safaricom thing, he just said, you know, but look, this happened and this happened and this happened. But then he says, look, but more than anything else, I just want to say sorry for letting you down. And you think, oh, Bob, it's okay. We need to realize that, and maybe as men we need more help with this, but relationships are actually emotional things. It's not just I said sorry, therefore accept it. But there's a place for saying, hey, I lied, I was deceptive, because of fear and pride in my heart. And I realize why you're incredibly disappointed in me right now. I'm so sorry, I've hurt you. Another tip, and this is, I'm preaching to myself here. If I have hurt someone, I need to be able to feel the hurt that I've caused them. Does that make sense? And so if I say to Belinda, Belinda, that is not a nice necklace. Just being my honest self. It's a lovely necklace, by the way. I want you to know that. Okay. And then she bursts into tears. Shucks, I need to say sorry and fast. Ideally before Calvin finds out. Address everyone involved. I'm going to talk to Belinda. Avoid if, but, maybe. But admit specifically, Belinda, that was rough and insensitive of me because I'm an idiot. Acknowledge the hurt. Now, this is what the point I'm making is that if she's sobbing in tears, like it or not, if I am not sobbing in tears because I've made her sob in tears, then we're not connecting emotionally. Does that make sense? What am I saying? I'm not saying, guys, you have to learn how to cry. Well, maybe I am saying that. But what I'm saying is that it's not enough to say, oh, Belinda, I shouldn't have said that. I apologize. Have a nice day. But somehow, part of acknowledging the hurt is we've got to get into that world of hurt as well. Does that make sense? And it's as we do that, as we realize, man, the fact that I've hurt you so much actually hurts me so much. When we're able to communicate that, that's a powerful confession, powerful apology. Next one, number five. Two more to go after this. Accept the consequences. Say, hey, listen, I realize that because I didn't tell you the truth, that you're going to struggle to trust me, and I understand that. Number six. This is big. Alter your behavior. We don't just walk around at one tribe and say, oh, I'm sorry I did that. Yes, I'm a sinner and I'm sorry about it, and so on. But part of confessing our sin is after we've said sorry, say, you know what? I'm going to alter my behavior. This is what repentance means, and it is fundamental to Christianity. Martin Luther, the reformers, they say that Christians should be repenting daily. People talk about how the leader of a church should be the repenter in chief. Alter your behavior. It's important you understand this. It's important we help one another understand this. Imagine I am driving in the middle of Nairobi and I turn down a one-way street. Okay? See arrows going this way, traffic going this way. Repentance is not realizing I have done something wrong. Are we together? Because I can realize, you know what? I think that I'm going the wrong way down a one-way street. And you carry on driving. That is not repentance and is not going to save you from a car wreck. Number two, repentance is not this. As I drive down the street in my Nairobi and I see a bus coming towards me, filling the windscreen, repentance is not mouthing the words, I am so sorry, but carrying on driving. That is not going to save you from a car wreck. Repentance, the word means to realize you're going the wrong way and to turn around and do a 180 and drive the correct way down the one-way street. Sometimes I think, have you repented of that? Yeah, I've realized it's wrong. No. Have you repented of that? Yeah, I've realized it's wrong and I've said sorry to God and sorry to the person I hurt. It's not going to save you from a relational wreck. Repentance is realizing you're going the wrong way and turning away from sin and turning towards Jesus and saying, Jesus, I need your help. Cleanse my heart. Cleanse my hands. Make me white as snow again. I need your help. Confessions about altering behavior. And last one. Oh, this is great. Ask for forgiveness. I know there's a lot to remember here, but again, I'm just trying to explain to us that we didn't start One Tribe just because it was a fun thing to do, but we started One Tribe because God wants more and more churches in Nairobi that show people what heaven on earth looks like. Jesus said, hey, listen, team, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And I'm like, who, me? And he's like, yeah, you. And I'm like, well, I better find out how to live. And as we hear about, wow, take the log out of your own eye. It means, wow, I've got to learn to, before I go and say, hey, try solve a relationship, take responsibility for what I've done wrong, address everyone involved, avoid if, but, maybe, admit specifically, acknowledge the hurt, accept the consequences, alter your behavior. Bob Collymore said, we're doing whatever we can to make sure this does not happen again. And he said it very nicely in a very calm way. I imagine in the team meeting before and after that, he's going berserk and saying, what's going on? What's going on this? Hopefully not. He's a better leader than that, I'm sure. This last, and again, it's just an interesting thing in terms of relationships. Ask for forgiveness. And in a couple of weeks' time, we're going to talk about the incredible power of forgiveness in relationships and how do you forgive and what does it look like and what if you don't feel like forgiving and so on. It's going to be fantastic. But this is an important step. Ask for forgiveness. And what happens when we ask for forgiveness is something very, very powerful because, you see, asking for forgiveness takes, if I say to Kelvin, hey, listen, would you forgive me? It takes my hands off the steering wheel of the relationship and it puts Kelvin's hands on the steering wheel of the relationship. What do I mean? I can come to Kelvin and I can do all six of these perfectly. Kelvin, I sinned against you, and so I'm talking to you, and there's no ifs, buts, maybes. I stole that 5 shillings, and I should not have done that. And man, you don't trust me. You're going to struggle to trust me, and I need to pay you back as well, and I'm going to make sure that I don't do that again. End of story. Have a nice day. Now, there's a way of doing that has me in control at every point of that conversation. Does that make sense? It's like, look, I've dealt with this between me and God, and I've done my 6A apology, and whether you like it or not, you know, it's your problem to deal with now, and off I go. When I ask for forgiveness, and you can do this with your kids, by the way, parents. Say, hey, listen, I sinned against you. Here I am. Please, I need you to forgive me. And all of a sudden saying, hey, listen, this isn't just about ticking through some A's. This is about a relationship that's been damaged. And man, I just hope it can be repaired. And it makes you vulnerable. Because all of a sudden you're out of control and they can say, yeah, all right, I forgive you. Which my kids say 9 times out of 10. One of them, though. He's like, I need to think about that. And then, do you know what? It's like, well, I'm your dad, so you have to forgive me at some point. Or I start withdrawing food according to hierarchy of needs until the... No, it's like, hey, no, this is a relationship. And I am the sinner here. You are the sinned against. To forgive, it's up to you, and I hope you will. Then I skink away. And then Tash comes into the rescue. Oh, my wonderful child, won't you forgive your father as Christ forgave you? And it usually works out. Okay. I don't want us to be a people who... No, that wasn't a proper confession. You missed A number 5 over there. Go back and try again. No. I'm talking about, hey, listen. We're serious about guarding relationships and doing relationships differently at the foundation and outset of this church. And so we come to the Bible and we try to get biblical principles that help us to get the log practically out of our own eye before we even look at helping other people with the speck in their eye. And man, sometimes... Back in Bulawayo, once or twice, I had to stand up, in fact, probably more than once or twice, and apologize to the church for something. And Natasha's nodding, thinking, yeah, yeah. And when I did that often, I find this so helpful. I'm talking to the whole church. This happened. I found this helpful. And just I'd encourage us to make this the flavor of our relationships. As soon as I see sin in someone else, just check for sin in my own life. You know, Jesus spoke about the Pharisees. He said, you know what? You strain out a gnat while swallowing a camel. context, people, as we see sin in someone else, say, hey, wait, first. Let me look to myself. And is there anything, big or small, I can find that might have contributed to this? And if I'm in doubt, I'll take more than my share of the blame. Number one, because it's good leadership. Number two, because I probably tend to underestimate my contribution to the conflict. And number three, because if I am owning sin, that's not my own. Or maybe that may be an indicator I'm becoming a little bit more like Jesus and less like me. Shall we stand together? Let's hold hands. Let's pray for one another. We need Christ's help if we're going to live this. Would you hold hands? I know I do soppy things like this, but it's just one way for me of demonstrating. And I know, guys, it's not very cool to hold another guy's hand, but please do. Father God, it's right now we think back 2,000 years to your son's last night on earth. And his prayer, the passion of his heart, was that we would be one. Just like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. And God, in your wisdom, not the way we'd have done it, you said that this is how people would know that we are your disciples. And God, we pray that you would help us as one tribe to not be a church defined by Christian bumper stickers or even a weekly meeting, but a church defined by the way that we love one another, that we love across differences, that we love across tribes and nationalities and skin colors, that we love in a selfless way, that we do friendship differently, that we do church differently, that we do family differently. And God, help us to get this truth into our hearts, that the first thing, make us people who this is our first port of call. Let's get the log out of our own eyes. And God, I thank you that you're real, that you came as a carpenter. That you knew what it was like to have splinters in your body. And God, I just pray that right now, you'd bring to mind relationships where we haven't done this well, where we haven't taken the log first out of our own eyes. And God, I want to say I'm so sorry for my self-righteousness. I'm sorry for my selfishness. I'm sorry for my judgmental heart and the effects that that's had on my family, on my friends, on believers around me. And God, help us to change where there are things outstanding. God, help us to take the initiative, to take the first step. God, you know where this conversation needs to happen, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our families, phone calls, and maybe Skyping in with people, whatever it takes, God. But I pray that we'd be a people who don't just hear the word, but who do the word. In the name of your precious Son, we pray. Amen.